Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, and we move forward. Our next guest, this gentleman, is with us once a month. He is the mayor of the city of Brockton. A very busy man, actually, in moments after he gets done with our conversation. He'll be going into meetings to talk about the budget for fiscal year 2015 with the city council. I bring you Mr. Bill Carpenter. Mr. Carpenter, how are you?
Oh, good evening, Kevin. Great to be back on Monday Night Talk on WATD.
Hey, as I've always said, you sound better on FM, my friend.
Yeah, so we, tonight, the budget process, probably the budget review begins, Kevin. I put the finishing touches on the fiscal year 15 budget about a week ago. Delivered it to the city council and in city government here in Brockton. The mayor submits the budget, but it is subject to the approval of the city council. So, you know, I anticipate for the next three or four long nights of very diligent review of the budget by our 11 city councilors, and that's how it's supposed to work, and the process begins tonight. I'll be presenting my overview of the entire budget, and then we'll begin with my own office budget and then move from department to department over the next three or four nights. But, you know, these hearings generally run till anywhere to 11 o'clock to midnight each night. It's a thorough process, but I am getting positive reception from the public already because of the fact that I have submitted to the council for approval a balanced budget that does not call for any new taxes.
Well, see, but I think you're kind of caught in an interesting juxtaposition, and that is where you've kept a campaign promise, yet there is one department that is having issue with their budget right now. Last I knew, it was a $5.7 million budget that they were trying to close, and from what I understand is they have kind of been able to make enough cuts or find enough money where they're going to. There's 37 teachers right now that are still, you know, expected to be laid off.
No, you're right, Kevin. There's no doubt that this is a tough year on the school budget. And the school budget obviously is done by the superintendent and the school committee and then is incorporated into the overall city budget and presented to the city council. I think you're absolutely right. I'm just as concerned as everyone else is about the school's finances. The reality is that the Brockton Public Schools this year are receiving $3.6 million more in local funding, Chapter 70 from the state and city contribution, $3.6 million more than last year. So I think there's been some misconception by the public that I've somehow cut the funding to the school department. Just not the case. The school department contribution from the city is up $3.6 million this year. Now, despite that, you know, the deficit they're talking about is what the superintendent feels is necessary to maintain level services to our students, and we certainly want that. So there are a lot of pressures on the school budget from cutbacks in federal grant money this year. Race to the Top ran out last year.
Mm-hmm.
There's been cutbacks in Title I funding. A city like Brockton certainly, you know, counts on those federal funds, and there are less federal funds this year. You've got automatic pay raises built into the teacher's contract, what are called step raises, and those increase about $1 million this year. So you've got $1 million in raises, and you've got the cost of health insurance up $1 million. So there are, you know, several pressures on that school budget that are creating, you know, I guess what I would call an operating shortfall. There's no doubt that the superintendent is, you know, having difficulty trying to maintain level services. Now, I feel there are two big factors that are hitting our school budget that just have to be addressed at the state level.
Right.
And the first one is the fact that Brockton is one of a handful of gateway cities with rapidly increasing student enrollments. Almost all of the communities across the state from year to year right now are experiencing level student enrollments, in some cases small decreases each year. However, Brockton's one of half a dozen gateway cities with an exploding student population due to immigration. So we, for the third year in a row, Brockton has a net gain of about 450 students over the previous year. So picture that's basically an elementary school full of kids that we did not have a year ago, and that's happened 3 years in a row. Now, why that's such a big impact is the way the Chapter 70 reimbursement works with the state. The state takes your census of your student population on October 1st. How many students do you have in the seats on October 1st? And that determines your aid for next year,
right?
Not for this year, for next year. So when, if you're going up 450 students, for the first year that those new students are here, you're not collecting anything in reimbursement from the state. Now, to compound the problem for a city like Brockton is those 450 students don't all come in over the summer. They come in year-round. So after October 1st of the current year, you know, you would estimate that about 300 of this year's new 450 students would come in over the remainder of the school year. That means they didn't even make this year's census. They'll hit the census for the first time next year. Brockton won't see the first penny of reimbursement towards those students until the year after next.
Right.
So, you know, there just has to be an adjustment made at the state level in the way they distribute the school aid to account for this, you know, handful of cities like Brockton that have an exploding student population. We're carrying the burden of educating hundreds and hundreds of students each year without getting any reimbursement from the state for those students. And after three consecutive years of that, it really has placed, you know, an incredible pressure on our school budget. And I guess another piece of it also, not as dramatic of effect, but another a burden that we're carrying here in Brockton, is educating homeless children. So, you know, several of our hotels have basically turned into homeless shelters. The state is using them and renting out the rooms to provide emergency housing for homeless families. Unfortunately, this quote-unquote emergency housing typically goes on for months. The students come into our school system. We welcome them with open arms. But then eventually, at some point in time, those families are relocated. And when they're relocated, they have the option to have their children remain in the Brockton Public Schools. And under a law called McKinney-Vento, the city of Brockton is obligated to provide free transportation for those students from wherever they're now living to their school in Brockton each day. So in essence, we're compelled to provide, you know, door-to-door van transportation for students that are spread all over the whole region. I mean, we're driving kids from New Bedford and Taunton and Fall River and Middleborough and other places that, because they stayed a few months in a hotel in Brockton, they have now become Brockton students. And under the law, they have a right to continue their education in Brockton and be provided transportation. So, you know, I've got long-term Brockton kids, you know, who are walking to school. We've got about somewhere in the neighborhood of 8,500, 9,000 students who walk to school every day here in the city. Yeah, we're going to spend about $1.5 million this year providing transportation to out-of-city students that were previously classified as homeless. So I just outlining, Kevin,
sure,
these are a lot of pressures, you know, financially on the Brockton school budget, and that's why, despite a $3.6 million increase, the superintendent needs about $5 million more if she were to maintain level services for this year's students, of which there are nearly 500 more than there were a year ago.
Again, we're speaking with the Brockton Mayor, Bill Carpenter, and we're talking about he's going to be speaking with the Brockton City Council about his budget, that he's his first budget as mayor that he's going to be putting forward. Just to set your mind at ease, I know that sometimes the media can miss things or overlook things, and I believe that our news department made sure that we did recognize the federal cuts that were lost, and also the influx of students that the city has seen and not received a proper amount of money. And I thought from speaking with various sources, that even though 2 years in a row you had the similar numbers of 450 kids, I guess 1 year the city received $11 million, and then the next year received only $8.5 million. So there's a lot of inaccuracies in regards to the monies that you receive from the state when it comes to Chapter 70.
Yeah, we really need some help from the state in terms of a more equitable system of reimbursing a gateway city like Brockton. Mm. That's facing all the challenges I mentioned, including an exploding student population for which we go a year or two with no reimbursement on those kids. We also have to recognize that, you know, those new students coming in on average cost more than the average Massachusetts student to educate. We have a, you know, a significant percentage of English language learners. We have a specific significant percentage of students with special needs. And we're meeting all the needs of these students, but unfortunately, you know, you can see it's caught up to the budget this year that there are significant cuts, painful cuts being made, and I'm no more happy about it than anyone else is, but it's not a result of any cutback in funding from the city side. The funding from the city side is actually up over $3 million from last year, and, you know, to just say raise taxes, balance the school budget, it's not that simple. If I raise taxes the maximum 2.5%, which I am not going to do, but if I did do that, you know, that would generate somewhere in the neighborhood of $2.5 to $3 million in additional revenue, and I would be obligated to distribute that revenue fairly across all city departments. I've got unfilled positions in every city department, including the fire department and the police department. So even if I had that additional $2 or $3 million of revenue, you know, probably about $1 million of it, no more than $1.5 million, would go over to the schools, and that would help, but that would not solve the problem. And the fact of the matter is that I do not believe the majority of the residents of this city want their property tax bill increased. I hear it everywhere I go. I was out at Campanelli Stadium this weekend, and I was stopped by a number of Brockton taxpayers who stopped me to thank me for not raising their taxes this year. So I think that, you know, we've got to address the financial issues with the school department budget. You know, as a former member of the school committee, I'm very familiar with the budget and understand what the challenges are. But this is going to be a painful year financially for the Brockton schools, and we're all going to work hard together to make sure that we still do our job of providing a first-class public school education to our kids. And I think that we're all in agreement on that.
Did you have a chance to take a look at any other parts of the budget? I know that you mentioned it, you know, a couple of the areas of need, dire need, fire department, police department. Any chance for you to do anything to add any extra manpower to either of those departments? Are you still working on secondary funding? I know you've already promised that you look everywhere that you can to try to bring extra revenue into the city and put it into the areas of need.
Well, that's why this budget I'm submitting right now, Kevin, after 5 months in office, is the first step of a process. Mm. You know, what I said repeatedly during the campaign, in order to hold the line on taxes, we must develop additional sources of revenue coming into the city coffers, outside sources of revenue other than taking it out of Brockton resident owners and business owners' pocket in the form of higher property taxes. So I think, you know, I think we've made good on the first step of that promise by holding the line on taxes this year. And we've already begun working on initiatives in half a dozen different areas that will begin to generate additional revenue to the city over the next couple of years. We've already begun auctioning off city-owned property that we've acquired through tax title.
You just held your second one recently, correct?
We have our second one recently, and in two auctions we raised about $700,000. That's not available to me for this year's budget, but will be available to me next year. Mm. And I'm projecting that during the upcoming fiscal year that we will be able to raise about $1.5 million from auction sales of city-owned properties. Mm. So, you know, we're looking at that. I'm you know, certainly very proactively approaching the nonprofit organizations in the city about our need for them to begin making some voluntary contributions to the city budget. You know, many of these organizations, you know, they're multi-million dollar operating budgets with CEOs making six-figure incomes. I've got to believe that they have the ability to make a partial payment voluntarily to help offset the tax revenue that we lose because these organizations are tax exempt. So those conversations are going on. Naturally, the nonprofits are not too crazy about those conversations, right, but the conversations are continuing because the reality is that many of these organizations really create a significant drain on our police and fire department resources, and we need them to contribute to help offset some of that cost.
If I could kind of throw out, I know during the previous administration, the conversation kind of was around Aquaria and the money that was being spent, and also the Stonehill sewer contract. Where do things stand on those fronts?
Interesting that you bring that up, because I agree 100%. Those were issues I raised during the previous administration, because they weren't doing anything about it. Our water budget is under tremendous stress. The Water Commission recently recommended to the City Council a 10% increase in water rates, and the Council will be, you know, holding a hearing on that in the near future. And the reality is that our water budget is underfunded because of the payments to Aquaria. The payment goes up this year, Kevin. This year it's $6.3 million to Aquaria, roughly one-third of the entire budget of the Water Department. So we do need a resolution of this bad deal with Aquaria. And, you know, we've had some initial contact with Aquaria, and I think once we get through the budget process, you know, I think at some point in the not-too-distant future, we'll be looking to sit down and talk to them to see what we can do to resolve this. You're certainly aware that during the campaign, I proposed the idea of the city negotiating for the purchase of that desal plant. I believe we could own it for $4 million a year at the right price instead of the $6 million that we're essentially paying in rent for water we're not using. Now, you know, we've still got a little ways to go to get there. You know, there has to be a willingness on the part of Aquaria to sell, and they have to be willing to sell at a price that I believe is favorable to the city of Brockton. But in any event, you know, we do have to have those negotiations, discussions with them as to the status of this contract. And, you know, I have dangled the possibility of challenging the contract legally in court. And I have our law department looking at our options in that area also. So there will be movement on Aquaria during the second half of this year. Exactly what it will be yet is to be determined, but there will be movement on Aquaria. As far as Stonehill goes, those conversations are already taking place. I've met with Stonehill twice now, we'll be meeting again, I think, within the next month or so. And, you know, we're exchanging ideas and proposals. And I think they've been, you know, we certainly don't have an agreement. There is a difference of opinion as to what, you know, how our contract to sell sewer or accept sewer from Stonehill College is interpreted, and how the rate or bill should be determined. But, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic on the Stonehill front that, you know, that there have been, I think, open and honest conversations taking place. Why those conversations were not taking place over the previous years, I can't explain to you. But those conversations are taking place now. And I think there has been, you know, exchanges of ideas. And I think we may be moving in the direction of coming up with a resolution of the billing for the Stonehill sewer without us actually having to seek relief in court. So I guess I would say stay tuned on both fronts, both Aquaria and Stonehill.
Again, we're speaking with Brockton Mayor Bill Carpenter as he joins us once a month to kind of talk about some of the things that are going on in the city of Brockton, and kind of move away from the budget conversation and talk a little bit about crime and your police department, the guy that you have labeled the Clint Eastwood of crime fighting. I believe that you just extended him another 60 days. This will be the third time. Give me kind of a look into how things have been under him and some of the things that we're seeing in the city.
Well, when I speak to Brockton police officers, and I speak to police officers every day, what I hear over and over again is that they would never believe that one person could create the type of turnaround in morale and performance of a police department in just 4 months that Chief Bob Hayden has accomplished. And I think you're seeing his changes becoming more and more discernible. Proactive policing. We're sending out patrols, proactively looking for street-level crime instead of waiting for the 911 call to come in. Right early on, almost immediately, the chief strengthened and expanded partnerships and task force with all the other state and federal law enforcement agencies. And in fact, representatives of about a dozen different state and federal law enforcement agencies are now meeting with the Brockton Police on a weekly basis to share intelligence. And that has led to some major arrests of both drug dealers and gang leaders. And I think that, arrests, Felony arrests are up 45% over the same period a year ago. Now, there's more to getting the city safe than just arrests, but I think it's clear that we're getting a great performance by our police department under Chief Hayden. And most recently, he's brought back motorcycles. And we have 6, soon to be 8, Brockton police motorcycles on patrol in the city. And I think in the warm weather months, they are going to be a tremendous asset, both in preventing crime and creating stable neighborhoods. So a lot of positive things happening under Chief Hayden. And, we all understand he's here on a short-term, not a long-term basis. And what I've said to the council from day one is that I would like Chief Hayden to lead the police department for a year. I mean, the chief is 72 years old. We don't have a 5-year plan with the chief. And that's why I think that what I'm doing right now with the 60-day appointments is a perfectly appropriate use, of that Chapter 61A. To appoint in, interim replacements for department heads. And there's a strong precedent for that having been used here in the city numerous times in the past. So, we're coming into the warm weather summer months, Kevin. In any American city, there is an uptick in violence during the warm weather months. I think we're better positioned to handle it today than we were a year ago, thanks to the efforts of Chief Hayden. And we will, continue to work every day. The chief has labeled this the battle for Brockton. Mm. And we are coming out with a campaign to support the chief and the Brockton Police Department called the Battle for Brockton. And it begins with his proactive policing efforts and arresting drug dealers and gang members who are carrying illegal guns. But it's going to go well beyond that. It's quality of life crimes. It's cleaning up neighborhoods. It's installing video surveillance cameras across the city. It's bringing back a level of security and changing the perception of Brockton from the outside and making the people who live here in the city feel safe and secure. And I believe that's all happening under Chief Hayden.
If you could kind of back up just for half a second, because that was an interesting story. I know that you... there was a story that you're going to look to not only have bar owners, but businesses kind of get in on the security end of things, having cameras. Tell me about having a tool like that.
Well, the chief and I have agreed that one step that we can take that would have a significant impact right away on reducing crime in the city would be to increase the number of video surveillance cameras across the city shining in public areas. And so we're approaching that on several fronts. The chief and I are beginning to call on private business and private property owners to install 1 or 2 cameras on the outside of their buildings, shining down on sidewalks, streets, intersections, obviously in business districts, densely populated areas, areas where crime may occur. And we're getting great cooperation from the private business owners. We're doing it on the city level. I just met with the parking commissioner this week who has agreed to install 6 external video surveillance cameras on the outside of the downtown parking garage that will actually cover 3 different streets around a block in downtown Brockton. So we believe that if we can get 200 or 300 outside cameras installed across the city this year, shining on public areas, that they will, A, be a deterrent to crimes occurring, and if and when a crime does occur, they're a tremendous asset in helping the police to solve these crimes and make arrests quickly, and more importantly, get convictions and get criminals put away. So on the other front, I do have a proposal for new regulation with the License Commission that would require most bar and tavern owners to install video surveillance inside and out. That discussion has been continued till the July License Commission hearing. I think overall there's general support among the bar owners. However, they've got some reservations about a couple aspects of it. So, we thought a continuance was a good idea to give me an opportunity to informally sit down with the establishment owners and see if we can address some of their concerns while still achieving the goal of getting the video cameras, and particularly, again, on the outside of the buildings, the parking lots, the sidewalks, the street. And on the same note, I have just I've just installed the same requirement for any business in the city that wants to be open between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. Under a city ordinance, those businesses are required to get a special permit each year issued through the mayor's office at a cost of $300. And that ordinance allows me to put conditions or stipulations on those permits. So right across the board, very evenly, I've notified all of those businesses that when their permits, if they do renew their permits for July 1st to be open between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m., that they will be required to have working video surveillance cameras both inside and outside of their business. So you're talking about convenience stores, drug stores, fast food places, gas stations that are open in the middle of the night. And again, I think that these cameras, when it becomes very well known that if late at night you stop at any Brockton convenience store, gas station, a CVS, whatever it may be, that you are going to be on camera. And if you commit a crime, that crime will be captured on camera. And I believe that makes the city safer.
Right. I definitely agree. Well, we just have you just for a few moments before you get whisked away up to city council chambers to talk budget. Just a couple of different things I want to talk to you. Downtown projects. I know recently you had a drive-by by the governor who stopped by regarding funding for City Hall Plaza.
I think it was more of a visit than a drive-by. We had a groundbreaking ceremony, and I did have an opportunity to meet with the governor before the ceremony. And, we're very excited. As I look out the window here at City Hall, City Hall Plaza is in the process
of being
torn up, and in a good way, because we'll be installing a brand new City Hall Plaza. It's a green way. It's an initiative by the governor. We're able to obtain state grant money through the governor for an urban park. It's been one of his initiatives to restore green spaces to downtowns of cities. And so, our City Hall Plaza right now that is almost all brick for a large area around City Hall and even across all the way out to the next block on Crescent Street, that's going to be removed in a beautiful brand new, it is a park, it's an urban park of, green space, grass, trees, walkways, lighting, irrigation will be installed. And, by next spring, we will have a beautiful park here in the downtown. And really important for us right here, Kevin, is simultaneously with the approval of the city council, we are purchasing the former Liberty Bank building that's located about 100 yards from City Hall.
Right.
And with the acquisition of that building, we'll be moving the Board of Health and the Parent Information Center from the schools into that building. So when this new park is completed, it will be bordered on all four sides by municipal buildings, the school department headquarters, the former Liberty Bank, the municipal parking garage, and City Hall. So we will be creating here, when you visit a downtown here next spring, what you'll find is a downtown government center that's built around a beautiful downtown park. So another piece of the puzzle, Kevin. There are a lot of pieces to the puzzle in the revitalization of downtown Brockton, but I think this is an important one, and it will make a difference in the image and the perception of downtown Brockton.
Let's one last final thing. As far as you outreach, being able to inform the residents, I know you got a new website you're working on. I also know that you're going to be doing something called Mondays with the Mayor.
Right.
And I also believe that folks may or may not be aware, but you actually have a TV show that you put out on a regular basis.
Well, more and more folks are becoming aware every week as we produce Shoe City Scoop that airs on local community access here in Brockton on Comcast Channel 12, but also is posted on YouTube each week. So for folks without Comcast can go on youtube.com/MayorBillCarpenter and view both this week's and past editions of Shoe City Scoop, where basically I just give the residents a chance to follow me around at a number of the events that I go to or take them on tours of places in the city. I think essentially, it's good positive news and information about what's going on in the city, particularly in connection with the mayor's office. So we're real happy with the following we're building on that. I have people stopping me all the time to tell me that they're watching the TV show. We produce the show every week. It airs on several times during the day, every Saturday on Channel 12, and then it is also posted on YouTube. So, I think that's a new wrinkle that folks are appreciating here in the city.
Mm-hmm.
The Monday nights, I think, are very big, Kevin. I mean, you've got Monday Night Talk, so We're now going to have Mondays with the mayor beginning a week from tonight, next Monday the 16th, and that will be twofold. First of all, beginning a week from tonight on the 16th, we're extending City Hall hours until 7 p.m. on Monday nights. Currently, City Hall closes at 4:30 every day. So I think that people will appreciate the increased access. During the campaign, I talked a lot about, Kevin, a lot about improving the accessibility to city government, being more customer service friendly, making it easier for residents to access city services. So this is one of the steps in that direction by us keeping City Hall open late on Monday nights. Folks who work all day Monday through Friday and are forced to take time off of work if they need to get into City Hall will no longer have to do that. They can come in on a Monday night. We'll be open until 7. And on two of those Monday nights each month, two Monday nights a month, I'll be holding open office hours called Mondays with the Mayor. And you may recall during the campaign I pitched an idea called Coffee with the Mayor, where I was going to open up once a month early and serve coffee to residents. And that idea has kind of evolved instead into Mondays with the Mayor. I've become convinced that there would make it easier for a much higher percentage of the residents of the city to take advantage of the open office hours with the mayor if they were held in the evening rather than the morning. And so Mondays with the Mayor is kind of the evolution of the original idea of Coffee with the Mayor. And we're getting a great reception to that already, as any resident of the city will be able to schedule a 10-minute meeting with me two Monday nights a month. So we're looking forward to all of those things. And in a more long-term fashion, you know, you mentioned the new website is coming.
Correct.
And so with the launch of the new website within the next 30 days, it's almost done. We're basically test driving it now. It's essentially ready to go. But I don't want an Obama healthcare website, so I'm trying to make sure that my staff and my IT people really test drive the thing for a little bit and make sure that they get the glitches out of it before we
launch it
live with the public. But among the many new features on there will be the ability to conduct a lot of city business online, anything from filing a complaint to paying a bill. There'll be a lot more interactivity. We'll have a virtual City Hall. So if you need to get an application or a form from any city department, you'll be able to go into the virtual City Hall and you know, download and print a copy of the form without having to come in and pick it up in person. So there'll be a lot of improvements, and as that website will continue to grow, because we'll be adding capability and content to it, you know, constantly for a couple of years to get it to where I really want it to be. But as that grows, that'll reduce the need for people to come into City Hall. So I think all of those are efforts towards making city government more user-friendly and easier to access for our residents.
Well, we thank you very much for giving us an information-filled half an hour, and we'll look forward to our Mondays with you, Mayor. What are you going to do with that fourth Monday? Are you going to play golf or what? What are you going to do?
Well, that's interesting, Kevin. We will have to schedule our visits around the Monday office hours that are going to be 5 to 7, two yep. Mondays a month. But I'm sure one of the other couple Mondays, we'll schedule my monthly visit with you on Monday Night Talk. And the hours are long right now. We're doing a lot of work, but I really believe that with time, folks will begin to see the fruits of our efforts.
Well, continued success, Mayor, and we'll look forward to talking to you next month.
Thanks, Kevin.
There he is, Brock the Mayor, Bill Carpenter. We'll step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.